Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody out there. I am Jeremy the Impact York, joined once again by Mr. Coach Haywood Hill.
Thank you for having me again, Jeremy.
Always great when we get to sit down and talk about football, and this week was definitely a chaotic, busy one.
Lots to talk about.
Oh, there are tons of things to talk about. We're going to hit on Troy Vincent's, I guess, proposal for a way to improve the league. We're going to tackle if the draft should be 4 days instead of three. We're going to talk about Jeff Ireland's new gig. We're going to talk about Dan Patrick's new gig as well. And we're going to talk a little bit of Draft Day of the movie. No real plot points. We're going to tell you the relevance of this film and how much of an impact it actually does have on football. But like I said first, let's talk about Troy Vincent, who is the director of football operations for the NFL. And he has recently in a statement come out to say that he believes we need a developmental league.
Well, absolutely. I can't disagree with Mr. Vincent and his statement. If you look at where football is today, a lot of players, a lot of talented players are coming into the league, but a lot of these players are raw. And so, unfortunately, what happens with these players now under the rookie contract and the way it is structured, they have 3 years to kind of develop them, but they're developing them in a situation in which they're live in-game. What the developmental league gives an opportunity to do, it allows you to get coaches, players, refs, scouts, an opportunity to basically hone their skill. So I think most definitely some type of developmental league is needed. Now, in the past, NFL had NFL Europe. It had a 16-year life shelf, mm-hmm. basically. But the only problem that was with it is that it only produced probably three notable names, Kurt Warner being one of those mm-hmm. names, Dillman, I think, was a quarterback. Yeah. That was one of those names, and Vinatieri, the kicker. So those are the only three names that came out of the NFL Europe. Now, you had other players to go and play, but these were the most notable names. And I think the only thing that hurt it at the time, the idea was right, the concept was right, but it was clear across the water in other countries.
Right.
And so now it's trying to find a place here within the boundaries of the United States to or closer countries if you're going to still try to take that concept around the world, so to speak, to get them an opportunity to be able to come in and play and get these coaches and help other coaches develop as well as scouts and players.
Right, and like we were discussing before we went on air today, it's the speed of the game that is so much different between the college level and the pro level. You know, we talked about maybe that's what it was about a Tim Tebow. It's something that Johnny Manziel, especially at his small size, is going to have to worry about is catching up to the speed of the game because these guys aren't, you know, your cookie cutter, almost, you know, old school Nintendo or Sega Genesis where block players are slowly moving each other. These are full impact race cars ramming into each other.
Absolutely. The specimen, the NFL specimen, or any professional sport at the high level, whether it's the NBA or NHL, you're talking about specimens now. You're talking about years and years and years of developing this skill set at those positions. And I think that's the biggest thing that overwhelms all of the rookie players when they come in is that they don't realize just how fast those players are running and moving until they're right there.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you want to call and weigh in on any of these issues, whether we've covered them or not or yet, you can always call us at 347-826-7448. I see a couple of you on the line right now. We'll get to you just here in a few seconds. I do want to get into the weird rumor, and there's been a few notable people, some credible sources that have suggested that maybe Roger Goodell may look at making this draft 4 days long. Now, to me, the draft is already about as long as it needs to do because, and the fact that it's already 2 weeks back, that's 2 weeks more you got a chance to look at somebody, but now I'm sure a lot of people are tired of looking at the same tapes over and over, and you kind of feel burnt out to where you may not even make the best decision at this point.
I agree. I think going to unless there's a plan for the 4 days.
Yeah.
Now, if you're going to bring this developmental league into play, then yes, the fourth day will make a difference in those players that you want to now send into the developmental league. But until you put that in place, I think that with technology, it'll also fit and work, again, if that's going to be put in place. But right now, 3 days, all of the coverage that they're giving you pre-draft and then during the time of the draft and post-draft is more than enough coverage. I think at that point, people are heavily inundated with the draft and
right.
kind of burnout with the draft at that point. So unless they're going to come up with the developmental league process, and also have something that's going to drive that fourth day, then I think 3 days is more than enough.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and the way those even tie in, like you're saying, is the only reason to extend it is if you're just trying to fill up another league. But at that point, is it going to be the same as it is in hockey or baseball or even the D-League of basketball where, you know, let's say they put a developmental team in Alabama, somewhere in Alabama, because it's a, you know, they don't really have the pro-level style there. So they have a team, everybody starts to get attached. Then that guy gets brought up or another guy gets sent back down. You got pro-level people who are suddenly going to be optioned down to the developmental league, and you're going to have that whole chaos of things here. So there needs to be probably a 3 to 5 year plan if either of these two things are going to come out.
I agree.
But I do see a couple of you stacking up there. I do see our good buddy Reggie on the line. I believe we'll see what Reggie's got to say here. Hello there, Reggie. Hello?
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hey,
welcome back
to
End Zone.
Hey, Jeremy. Hey, Coach Hill, how you doing?
I'm good, so.
I definitely echo Coach Hill's thoughts on the development league. I think that if they are smart, they're going to see, if Goodell is smart, he will see this as another income stream. I mean, given especially how popular the NFL has become, I think that definitely would be a good move to bring it here locally. And as far as the speed of the game, I mean, I think these kids find out real quick. I know that there's been some talk even about Johnny Manziel, how he's going to find out that the speed of the game is a lot different. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm hoping they do bring that about.
Also, thanks for calling in, Reginald. One of the things I'd like to also point out about the NFL Europe situation, because I had personal friends of mine that actually coached in Europe. One of the things that they wanted to do with the NFL and the whole idea of that was to take the NFL around the world. The problem that they had in the last 5 years of the existence of the league was that the teams were not homegrown. And so the teams that were there, the fan base was there, and they were looking more for teams that were localized. They wanted a localized type of NFL feeling, if you will. So with that being the case, that's what kind of made it so hard to follow and to keep up with, and eventually those countries that those teams played in just kind of went back to their club ball style of play because they had those local players that they could put their hands on year-round.
Right, which is what's going to make it hard about, you know, putting a team in Canada, because the Canadian Football League is so successful and they do have those homegrown talents there.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But, Reggie, we hadn't hidden a couple of these categories yet, but wanted to see what you thought about a few of these. You know, Jeff Ireland was hired in Seattle as a draft consultant, and I don't know if you've seen Draft Day yet, but there's a lot of relevance.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, but there's a lot of relevance and importance of the film as far as the way it comes across, and, you know, we heard the other day that there's going to be a new internet version of Jeopardy, and it's going to be Sports Jeopardy, and Dan Patrick is set to host this.
Wow. Huh. Are they giving out the same money?
I mean,
that'll be a good – you should jump on there, Jeremy.
You know, I don't know if they want, you know, normal everyday people to be on this, or if they're going to have media people like ESPN does a lot of their shows, or, I mean, you know, I'd very much like to see maybe a Tom Brady knowledge go head-to-head up against maybe a LeBron James or something like that in this style.
Well, you know what? It really does speak volumes, and we won't cross the paths here, but even with the whole Donald Sterling thing on the NBA side of the house, it just speaks volumes to how important sports have become to the masses again, and this is just another way to take advantage of that revenue stream. As far as Jeff Ireland, going back to that, I thought that was interesting. I would have never guessed. And I'm not real sure where Pete Carroll is going with that, and why he feels like he needs Jeff's input from a drafting perspective. I mean, not he did okay with what he did in Miami for the brief time that he was there, but I'm not real sure what else you need to do to Seattle's roster to tweak it. I mean, maybe for the long haul or that, but that was an interesting move for me. I wasn't real sure where he was going with that.
Well, as Coach Hill was telling me beforehand, he reminded me that Jeff Ireland does have ties to Seattle beforehand. He has been a believe he was a something with the combine.
Yeah, I mean, his resume reads large. You know, basically he played at Baylor, and he ended up coaching at North Texas as a University of North Texas as a special teams coach. He then entered the NFL as an NFL national scout for the combine. He then moved on to the Kansas City Chiefs as a scout. He was with the Dallas Cowboys as a national scout for the Cowboys and also the vice president of college and pro scouting before he joined Miami as a general manager. So one of the things that he's probably looking at is what he sees from a true scouting perspective, being very objective against the group. So he's probably there as a against the grain type of guy. And because he does have the general manager experience, it also helps with the relationship he has with other general managers, or he had when he had the position in Miami, to basically broker deals.
Right. Two quick things popped in my head as we're going over this story. One, with his relationships, does this mean Seattle may want to take advantage of these to try to move around the draft, for one, which is very possible to move up or down to move different things? And two, this is the first guy that was really involved in that Dolphins altercation that has found new jobs somewhere. Like, you know, Mr. Martin didn't really have much of a choice of getting traded. So, I mean, we can't really consider that. He is in a new place. I think he'll do a lot better in San Francisco. But Jeff Ireland's the first guy from the whole fiasco to actually get new employment somewhere just straight up.
One of the things I can say about Mr. Ireland, and I can see Seattle made a very good move on this, and they jumped it fast, is remember, he was the GM. So he knows what they were looking for or what players that are out there. So now he can put Seattle in position to now broker those type of deals because, remember, the scouting department is large. Things go into vaults. They're looking at players 2 or 3 years down the stretch. So now that they're up on the 2014 draft, he can now kind of pick his brain as to things that they had on the table, players that they were looking to go after, and what other deals that might have been lingering out there with other organizations that they maybe can broker deals with players that they have now.
Yeah, absolutely. And, Reggie, you said you haven't seen draft day yet?
No, I'm actually going to try to take my son and go see it this weekend. I've been told by a couple of guys that I need to go check it out. So, definitely go, Coach Hill mentioned definitely go check it out. So, I'm anxious to see what it's about.
And, it'll definitely, you know, like I've said before, it definitely makes it to where you'll ask less questions. And it's not that it's bad that anybody asks questions. It's just that it's a very informative film. And from what I hear, it gives you as close to a behind-the-scenes take as you can get. You know, just like the movie The Wrestler did a couple years ago as far as what happens on the indie scene. This is pretty much them opening the doors saying, this is as much as we'll let you know, but this is pretty much what happens.
Wow. Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to taking that in this weekend. So I'll definitely be there. And I'll tell you about it next week.
Yeah, definitely. We do appreciate you calling in, but we are right up against the break. So feel free to call back in for the second half, but we will head to commercial, and we appreciate you calling in.
All right. Thanks again, Jeremy. Thanks, Coach.
Mm-hmm.
And like we said, we'll be right back after the break, and we'll get a little more in-depth about the Jeff Ireland hire, talk about some of those relevance of draft day, and if Dan Patrick is the best host for Sports Jeopardy. For Coach Hill, I'm Jeremy. We'll be right back. Hi, Jeremy the Impact York here from Mellow Mushroom. Are you looking for a great family-friendly restaurant with food that is great and healthy? Drop by the Mellow Mushroom. They use the freshest ingredients to make everything on their amazing menu. Pizzas, calzones, salads, and more, plus daily drink specials. Go to mellowmushroom.com to find the location nearest you. Jeremy, the Impact York from Endzone here. Would you or your business like to advertise with Endzone? It's easier than you think. With many packages available, we've got the perfect deal to help you promote your business to a whole new audience. All you have to do is contact us at 3endzone@gmail.com for more info and to get started today. Let us help you grow your business. Hey, Zoners, it's Jeremy the Impact York. Are you looking for a dinner full of flavor with a little kick? Then Tequila Mexican Restaurant is your destination for authentic Mexican food and drinks. Make sure to come by on the weekends for live music on the patio and bring all your friends for a good time. With locations in Dallas and Hiram, they are ready to dish out their great food and more. And we are back. Hope you guys enjoyed those. And if you get a chance, feel free to visit our sponsors and support them because they support us and make sure shows like this happen. But we are back, me and Coach Hill here, and want to get a little more in-depth. Thanks once again to one of our good buddies, Reggie, good buddy of the show, calling in. It's always good to hear from him and his take because he's a realist fan. We don't, you know, he doesn't live in fantasy land. We get a good take from him.
Absolutely.
But talking about this Jeff Ireland hire, I don't even know if Pete Carroll had much to do with this. I'm sure he had some sort of vote. I'm sure this was the same way that, was it Scott Pioli that was hired in Atlanta as a draft consultant? The same way. He has a lot of ties to Kansas City and to St. Louis, which has helped because a lot of their free agents have came to Atlanta thanks to Thomas Dimitrov bringing him in. So in the same way as the way you were saying, I think hiring Jeff Ireland takes everybody Miami was looking at and all the affiliations that he has, good guy or bad guy, it's still a brotherhood. And all these GM, a lot of them stick together, a lot of them hang out together, visit each other in the off season, not to talk business, but usually just to check out the new surfboards and stuff. But I agree with you that he by far has been added because of these deals that they're looking at.
Yeah, I mean, again, like I said, it's a tight-knit fraternity. And one thing I liked about the movie Draft Day, because I did have the opportunity to go out to view the actual movie, is that it gives you insight on the thinking from an administrative side. You know, it's something that's very informable. It also gives you all the information that you need. And when you go as a fan and watch the draft now, you're looking at it from the eyes of the administration. You can see where the deal got made. You can see why a trade was done. You can see where they got bang for the buck in that trade and why they made certain selections and certain moves. So to go and see the movie most definitely allows you the opportunity to be able to digest it from the administrative side. And you'll find out GMs have a very, very difficult job. They're trying to satisfy an owner on one end who wants to have a premier player that can sell tickets. They're trying to satisfy a coach who's trying to win football games and get to the championship. So he's kind of the ambassador in the middle.
And you can't forget the fan base who every wrong turn you make or everything they consider a wrong turn, they want your head on a stake.
Absolutely. And that's week to week.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes day to day. But, yeah, definitely if you haven't seen Draft Day, and in no way are we affiliated with it, but this is – like I said, the same way the wrestler a couple years ago really threw the doors back on the things you didn't know and caught you up with the way things work, Draft Day by far put your mind in a different place.
Absolutely.
But the last thing I do want to hit on, and I'm a big fan of Dan Patrick. I try to catch his show whenever I can, even the replays. Him and the Danettes, to me, kind of embody one of the things that really made me want to get into this industry because he's been one of those guys. He's been all the way to the top of the mothership, and he was able to use that to get all these other opportunities. He hosts all kinds of things. He's in dang near every Adam Sandler movie I've ever seen, all because of the type of person he is and the type of work he does. So when I heard that Sports Jeopardy could come about, he was the first name that came to mind, and then as I read more into it, he was pretty much the only guy they were considering for this.
Well, he has so much energy. I mean, he brings so much charisma and his style. It's just his style.
And the knowledge.
Yeah, absolutely. The knowledge is not even questioned here. The fact that they're choosing, they only looked at him, says a lot about who he is and his knowledge on sports in general. So I'm very excited about seeing it. And we also need some things that can buffer between the sports. As you are going into football and the baseball and the basketball, you know, this kind of takes the edge off, if you will, on the fans as they get ready to transition into their favorite sport or out of their favorite sport. So I'm looking forward to see how Sport Jeopardy works out.
Right. And, you know, like we were saying, it sets up all the different things because there was a music Jeopardy, a rock and roll Jeopardy a couple years ago on VH1 where, you know, a lot of times you were thinking, okay, well, you know, the average Joe or Jane can get on these shows and try to test their knowledge, which they did a couple times, but for the most part, they were pulling musicians from all across the world. You could have, you know, Pharrell on there, against Mark McGrath from Sugar Ray, against Eminem. And it was all in just random music knowledge. And you really get to see who's really a student of it and who is just really good at what they do was
right.
what it kind of exposed, which I think is part of what happened. But, you know, to me, if like I was saying, if you could get, you know, let's say John Elway against Michael Jordan against, let's say, Tiger Woods. Not only are people going to tune in to see this, but you get a general sports knowledge. I'd love to hear what they had to say. Well, you know, what they know.
Who wouldn't like to hear what they have to say? Just the fact that that lineup alone is going to bring viewers from all over.
I mean, there's clear-cut people that you could get on there if you go this route. I mean, I think Shaq or Charles Barkley are easy targets. Not necessarily the target is a bad word, but because Charles Barkley and Shaq are always going to make it interesting. So even if Shaq don't know it, his guess alone could be hilarious. This could be almost the sports version of the Saturday Night Live sketches where they kind of play at Jeopardy here. And who knows, at some point you could actually get non-sports people, you know, maybe get Alex Trebek to actually be on the show as a contestant for once, something you may never see, or get a Pat Sajak, or these guys that are a Wayne Brady, these guys that are known for hosting these shows, get them in a different kind of environment.
Right. So, I'm very interested to see what they're going to do with the format of the show and, more importantly, how they're going to select their contestants.
Oh, absolutely. I'm looking forward to the open casting call because I would love to give it a shot, as I'm sure you would too.
Absolutely.
I would just I would hope that if I get matched up against you or somebody else of more knowledge than I have, that there would be a lot of hockey and soccer or something, maybe some golf relevance or something that I stand a chance in.
I'd have to polish up on my NASCAR.
Yeah, NASCAR's one I might could beat you on there, only with the help of my mom. But just to kind of go over everything we went over today, in case you do want to call in and talk about any of it. Once again, our number is 347-826-7448. We do have a handful of minutes left in case you do want to call and discuss any of it. We talked about how the director of football operations, Troy Vincent, feels that the league needs a developmental league, and we both agreed with that it would help as a way to bridge the gap between the college game and the pro game, especially the speed.
One of the things I want to also add to the comment that I made earlier about agreeing with Mr. Vincent on this is the fact that you also have a lot of if you notice, a lot of coaches get recycled.
Right.
And one of the reasons why that happens is because a lot of the assistant coaches don't get an opportunity to get elevated. It takes a long time in that process of finally making it to even being considered a candidate and go out for that interview amongst the NFL teams. If you have this developmental league back in place, now you have the coordinators who are now getting more experiences as head coaches in the developmental league, position coaches who are now getting experience as offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators or as coordinators. So now you get an opportunity to kind of grow them in an environment that will be conducive to what they're going to be doing when they go back, either from the developmental league back into the NFL or sent down specifically from the NFL to the developmental league so that they can hone those skills.
Right. And we also discussed if the draft should be 4 days, to which we both agreed it may be a little much, unless it is to help fill out these rosters in the developmental arenas to help get more players acclimated to the pro level.
Absolutely. I do agree that if they're going to go to the fourth day, please have a developmental league place, drop, you know, an additional 200 players in that league over, you know, however many teams, 5, 8, 10 teams.
Right.
And then just do what you did with the NFL. Take that same blueprint and just put it, localize it here in the United States.
Right, because there are many markets. I mean, if they do want to go global, there are many markets. Like I said, Alabama.
Oh, Mobile for certain would be one of the target cities I would go after if I was looking developmental for the NFL.
Oklahoma, I believe, would be good for it because they're always about football, and there's not really a pro level without them having to travel state lines.
Absolutely. I would look at states that just don't have professional football in them, but yet they have football strong in those states.
You know, Nevada would be another one.
Yeah. I think that one time the CFL was in Vegas, and they had an arena team one time there in Vegas. I don't know how well it worked just due to the distractions of Vegas.
Well, I mean, you could put it in Reno or another city slightly outside of Vegas where you know, you could sell weekend packages.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's another way of, again, I think Mr. Walker said it best when he was talking about the revenue.
Mm-hmm.
Most definitely the NFL is going to be looking for any kind of way to, again, make money. And how would – the biggest thing is when you're talking about developmental league is how do you finance it? With all of the owners already having mm-hmm. their own teams and all of it that they have to go through just maintaining the budget of their teams
right.
and salary caps, how do we finance this? So now it's finding a way to finance it and then let it become something that can become a financial gain and can be self-contained within itself. I think that's probably the only sticking point that I possibly see
right.
after spending 16 years in Europe and I think over $800 million.
Right.
Close to $1 billion in that project.
Right. You would almost have to find, 10 new owners or 15 new owners, 20 new owners, and then you'd have to divide up the league to say, all right, well, half of this team is the exclusive rights of this place or half. They'll have to figure that out. If not, we'll have to have 32 teams
right.
just to match up with it. The Jeff Ireland hire in Seattle, we both see this as them trying to – do their due diligence to make sure they have enough connections to be able to do what they need to do going forward, not just for the draft. Because even though this is a temporary job that could end after May the 10th, more than likely it won't. I would imagine he'll have some place in the organization. And as we said, this is the first person from the Dolphins altercation to actually be chosen to take over a new job and not be traded.
Right, absolutely. I think with that, it speaks volumes to Mr. Ireland's knowledge, ability, and respect in the league because they most definitely made a move to bring him in quickly.
We talked about the relevance of draft day and the way it's kind of thrown back the doors where you can get that insider look and actually understand how hard these GMs have to work and that they really, as much as a lot of people think they want to be the GM, you see what goes into it. A lot of people are changing their stance on this.
Just go see the movie.
Yeah, go see the movie by far. And in case the movie does want to be affiliated with us, you can always email us at 3endzone@gmail.com. We would be happy to push your movie and see it a million more times. And then the final thing we hit on was Dan Patrick hosting Sports Jeopardy. I think not only is this a way, to, like you were saying, to kind of fill in the voids in between the seasons and stuff like that, but to create some of these super matchups where it could be pro versus pro, amateur versus amateur, media guy, you know, put John Elway as a GM against Adam Schefter, the media, you know, top guy, and then put a Tom Brady on the other, and put those three in a sports category and see what happens.
We all love markets. We all love competition. And more importantly, networks love money.
Absolutely. And once again, if the people behind Sports Jeopardy would like to have any of us involved in that, you can get us at 3endzone@gmail.com. But that's going to do it for us for this week. Appreciate Coach Hill dropping by with us again.
Thank you so very much.
Appreciate Reggie calling in. Always good to hear from him. And as we're in the final minutes here, I do want to tell you guys, shortly following End Zone this week will be the debut of Falcon Zone, as well as Jaguar Zone, formerly known as the Pounce, will follow later on this evening. But definitely if you're a Falcons fan, you want to check in there. We're going to go a little more in-depth with some of the things they're doing and really kind of put the claws out and sink our teeth into preparing you for the Falcon season.
I'm excited to hear the Falcon Zone.
Oh, absolutely. But as I said, for Coach Hill, I am Jeremy. We'll see you guys next week.